Rainmaker FM.
Copyblogger FM is brought to you by StudioPress Sites, the complete hosted solution that makes WordPress fast, secure, and easy without sacrificing power or flexibility. Feel free to upload your own WordPress theme or use one of the 20 beautiful StudioPress themes that are included and just one click away. Explore all the amazing things you can do with the StudioPress site, and you'll understand why it offers a lot more than traditional WordPress hosting. No matter how you'll be using your site, we have a plan to fit your needs and your budget. To learn more, visit rainmaker.fm/StudioPress. That's rainmaker.fm/StudioPress. Hey there, it is awesome to see you again. Welcome back to Copyblogger FM, the content marketing podcast. Copyblogger FM is about emerging content marketing trends, interesting disasters, and enduring best practices, along with the occasional rant. My name is Sonia Simone, and I'm the Chief Content Officer for Rainmaker Digital. I write at least once a week for the Copyblogger blog, and you can catch some more mindset and ranty stuff at Remarkable Communication. Remember, you can always get the show notes for every episode, so that includes links. It often includes free extras by pointing your browser to copyblogger.fm, and that's also where you can get the complete show archive. So I am pleased as punch to be here today with Tara Gentile, who's a lovely person and a talented person. Tara, how are you doing today?
I am great, and I'm so glad to be here with you, Sonia.
I am too. I'm really glad. Tara has done a lot of things and does a lot of things. Right now, my primary identity label for Tara is the founder of CoCommercial. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. It's a really cool place that business owners can connect and grow and solve problems. It's really a neat space. So we will talk about that. But today, that's actually where I saw this piece that Tara had written. You can also catch it on Medium, called List Building is Dead. Long live list building in praise of the GDPR. And we hadn't done a GDPR episode yet, and I thought, this is the angle that I want to take. So I'm thanks for writing it, and thanks for swinging by to talk about it.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad it piqued your interest.
Yeah, it's good. I think anybody who has anything, who has an email account, has seen something about this GDPR. It's the General Data Protection Regulation in the European Union. It just went into effect at the end of May. And essentially, it's just a new regulation that protects people's data. It requires that businesses be transparent in how they're going to use data that we collect from customers and people that we email. So lots of folks are scrambling about it, partly because, like all of these things, it's just complicated and there's a lot, all this legalese, and you took a different view of it. You sort of did not take this as a burden, but as a real opportunity. So you want to just kind of unpack that and maybe talk about some of the advantages that this has.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll actually take it back even a few months previous to this article that I wrote. At the beginning of the year, I wrote another article about just trends that I saw coming down the line for digital small businesses in 2018. And the very first one that I picked out was greater transparency. I think that, you know, as a small business owner, as a marketer, we've been heading down this path of less and less and less transparency over the years as we've gotten really kind of sophisticated with how we collect people's email addresses, how we get them to follow us on social media, how we get them interested in the products that we sell and get them to, you know, get buy-in on what we're doing before we even let them know that it's happening, and, you know, all these different things. And not all of that is bad. I'm not saying it's necessarily bad, but it has been a step away from transparency. And I think for lots of different reasons, transparency is huge in our global culture right now. Consumers value transparency more than a lot of other things mm-hmm. right now. They want to know that the companies that they're doing business with are telling them the truth. They want to know that the governments that are overseeing them are telling them the truth. And I think that we're getting really good as consumers, as citizens, at smelling out where transparency doesn't exist and either calling it out or just avoiding it. And so as small business owners, I think this was something that regardless of the regulation, we were going to have to address in one way or another. And we were going to have to get a lot more comfortable with letting people know what was really going on. Yeah, I want to give you this freebie because I want you on my email list so that I can sell you stuff. Yes, I want you to sign up for this webinar because I want to teach you something that's then's going to, make you ask a question about what then I want to sell you, these kinds of things. And actually just being really upfront with it. Because what I've found over the years is the more you are upfront, the better people actually respond. And so I think this greater move toward transparency was something that, like I said, we were going to have to wrestle with one way or another. And so what the GDPR really allows us to do is create a framework, a structure for how we're going to wrestle with that need for transparency in the market, becoming more direct, becoming more honest, becoming more open with what our intentions are, not just because it sounds good and not just because that's what we should be doing, but because that's also the letter of the law now as well in the European Union. And very likely it will become some sort of letter of the law here in the United States. It's already the letter of the law in Canada as well. And so I think that this, like you said, I see it as an opportunity for us to take advantage of a trend towards transparency and directness, but also to use the regulation as a framework and as a structure for making better business decisions in line with that transparency and directness in a really kind of clear-cut way. Now, of course, there's nothing clear-cut about this regulation. and, the lawyers that I've been paying attention to and talking with about this are very quick to say that we don't know how it's going to be enforced yet. We don't actually know what some of these things mean yet because there's no precedent in court yet. Nothing has been enforced, and enforcement is one of the ways we understand how laws are actually, what they actually mean for us. There's with all that in mind, it still gives us this really nice, clear-cut, straightforward structure that we can use to rethink our marketing strategies around values for transparency and directness. And I think as small business owners, that should be a relief for us because we don't have to worry about these, learning every hot new trend when it comes to sophisticated and sneaky marketing practices. And it should also be a relief to us as consumers that this is the way we're going to have conversations, sales conversations and marketing conversations now.
Yeah, it's funny because this morning, 10 minutes before we got on the line, I saw an amazing example of this about something totally unrelated to marketing. It's an artist. She gives workshops on how to make art. And she's had this big Facebook group on making art, right? So she did a 3-week or 4-week workshop. It was very, very valuable. And her audience has been freaking out because she took these are going to go away on this date, full stop. And everybody's been freaking out and, complaining as people will only do if they're getting it for free. And so this morning, the other shoe drops and I get the message in the mail. Oh, well, you can continue to have access. It's $100. And it's good value at $100. She's adding more stuff. It's actually really exceptional value. And I promise you, I haven't been in there yet. There's going to be screaming, right? Because it's sort of like, I think of it as like when you're making out with somebody and then you're like, hey, should we take this further? And they're like, yeah, that's going to be $100. It's like, oh, that's not the relationship I thought this was. And I might have been okay with that deal, but now I just feel weird about it.
Totally.
Now I just don't feel good about this. And she would have been so much better off. Tim Page actually has talked about that on Copy Blogger also. She would have been so much better off right up front saying, at the end of this, you're going to have an opportunity to get an extra one. And that's a paid product. And so we'll enjoy the time we have, the free stuff. She also probably wouldn't have had to kill herself on the free stuff, which she really did. I think people do this because people teach to do this. And we've stopped teaching people to do that because I don't think it's a good idea. And I never liked that, right?
No. I think that's such a great example. And it reminds me of the model that I've used or that Creative Live uses and that I've been a part of at Creative Live. And so if you're not familiar with Creative Live, it's kind of really similar. They do free live broadcasts of classes on everything from art and design to photography to small business. And those you can just show up and watch while they're live. And then at the end, if you want on-demand access to it, if you want to own it, you pay a small fee and it gets added to your library. But we're really upfront about it the whole time. And it's been this really, I have actually had a lot of fun being in that environment where I can say, this is as good as it gets, guys. I am giving you everything right now, absolutely free. And also, if you want it forever, you can pay for it. And just being so upfront and making it so clear that this is what it's all about has been a really freeing experience for me. And I think that's been a good training ground for me for this transparency and directness and just really thinking through, you know, remembering that it's not about the bait and switch, right? It is about saying, I have something extremely valuable. I think it's worth paying for. Absolutely, I'll let you get a free preview of it. I'll let you get more than a free preview of it, but really owning the value of it from the beginning. And I think that's one of the things that's kind of going on here. There's a lot of mental stuff, a lot of mindset stuff where people think they need to give away all of the free stuff to justify charging later on. And I want small business owners, I want product creators, I want service providers to own the value of what they're doing, you know, in and of itself, so that they can say to somebody, I can help you with that. And it costs X amount, without saying, well, let me do a spec project for you first, right, or let me, you know, let me fix all these three things for you first, and then you can pay me for something else later on. Like, let's own the value of what we're creating. But that takes a bigger mental leap, I think, than people have been willing to make to this point. And of course, us as marketers have contributed to that over the years. But I think this, again, it's an opportunity to own that value and to own the price that you put on something, on what you've created as something that can really help people and that people actually really want.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just fascinating to me. This has been my year of just endlessly staring at people's mindset around selling, around valuing their time and their skill, and saying, you know, what I have to contribute is worthwhile. And it has a dollar attached to it because I have this habit of paying my mortgage and buying groceries, and that's how that works for me. And, you know, yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, so there's a little bit of the quote unquote, the sneaky marketer who kind of hides the offer and then springs it on you like a jack in the box, which is terrible salesmanship because people who are anxious tend to not move forward. So it's actually not good sales technique. But I think actually a lot of people fall into it, not because they're so sneaky or they're so, you know, ninja, but because they're really uncomfortable with getting clear about their own value. And so they put, it's a form of procrastination, you know?
Absolutely.
They put it off. Well, let's talk about, so many things to talk about. Let's talk about a question, because I think this is potentially an elephant in the living room, which is, okay, so we are going to let people know, you know, kind of right up front, because we have to. And incidentally, I mean, Tara touched on this. This is a European Union regulation. However, I agree with Tara. I see the writing all over every wall, especially after like what happened with Cambridge Analytica, where, you know, they were clearly doing some things that just violated any kind of common sense. I think we're going to see a similar legislation in the US. And even if not legislation, you have the expectation. People have the expectation you're going to respect. If they give you information, that you're going to respect it. You're not going to share it. You're not going to do weird things with it. And you're going to tell them that you're collecting it. You're not just going to sneak it in. So does that mean that we're all going to be transparent and authentic, and then we're going to keep, you know, everything's going to work just like it did before, and we're going to, you know, Are our email lists going to work the way they used to?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is why I titled the piece, List Building is Dead, Long Live List Building, right? Mm-hmm. I think that email is absolutely still going to work. I so don't foresee a world in which email marketing doesn't work. Maybe I can't get creative enough. Maybe I can't think far enough into the future, but I just... until literally email is dead and we're like communicating psychically through circuits in our brain, I just don't see a place, a time when email marketing doesn't work, where it's not an important part of any digital marketing strategy. And at the same time, I don't think it's going to work the same way that it used to. But I think the alternative is actually really exciting, because what we've seen to this point is people scrambling to get thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people on their email list, all in exchange for a 0.5% conversion rate or a 1% conversion rate. And I think what we're about to enter into here is getting comfortable with having 500 people on your list, or 1,000 people on your list, or, you know, maybe more than that. But each and every one of those people want to hear from you on a weekly basis, maybe on a multi-weekly basis. Wait, that's not a word. You know, multiple times a week. And that when we do make a pitch, and I think we might be making pitches actually more often now instead of less often, I think we're going to see higher conversion rates on that. And that we won't need to be afraid of only having 500 people who want to hear from us via email, or 1,000 people who want to hear from us via email. Instead, we can be really excited that every time we send out an email, people open it, they click on the links, they investigate what it is that we're offering, and more and more and more of them buy, because they know what we're all about. They know what's going on. But we do have to get really comfortable with having much, much smaller lists. Mm-hmm. We're going through the process of completely scrubbing our list. And, you know, having been doing this for a decade now, I don't have a small list. It's not a big list either, but it's not a small one. And I'm going to go back to, I know, unless something crazy happens, I'm going to go back to having a list that was more the size that it was when, you know, in 2011, say. That's scary. And at the same time, it's really liberating, because there's so much you can do with a more engaged list, a more responsive list. You get better feedback, so you end up developing better offers. You get better questions from people, so you know more about what to write about. And all of that then leads to just making better decisions for your businesses. I think a lot of us are sort of at the whim of lists that don't actually care, people, right? People who don't actually care about the value that we're creating. And so we see their responses, we see their intent, we see their actions, we get their questions, their problems, their challenges, and we kind of scramble to meet those things instead of gathering a group of people who are really engaged with exactly what we have to offer. And I think that that's going to just lead to a lot more sustainable, robust, better structured, better, businesses with better internal operations, all because we're just surrounding ourselves with the right people through a really transparent means of list building, if you can call it that now. So that's one of the biggest changes I see as, you know, how we're going to approach list building to this point, or email marketing in general at this point. And I think it's going to be a slow progression, again, because this is specifically an EU regulation. And so a lot of companies are only going to comply for people in the EU. But as time goes on, this is going to become more and more the norm. And we're going to get more and more comfortable and be more and more excited, I think, about gathering together those exact right people for us and engaging with them in a way that makes a lot more strategic sense than the way we've been doing it to this point.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I've been really thinking about what I see as an apparent paradox of automation, which is, we hear that word automation for communication and we think it's clinical or, you know, creepy or soulless. And for us, we are playing around with using automation to make things so much more relevant. And so if you're a freelance copywriter, I'm not going to send you material that's intended for somebody who's working in an organization, because it's not what you care about, you know, and it doesn't work for you. So I think there's a real opportunity to use the tools to create kind of more like micro ecosystems, you know, little microclimates in your list, in your audience, that you can have a much more intimate conversation with. And you can, you know, I mean, for many, many years now, my least favorite thing in the world is the no reply email address.
Yeah.
It's like, you sent me something, I had one the other day. They sent me a bad link. And it's like, I'd love to tell you that, but I, you know, you sent me communication specifically telling me don't reply because I won't answer. It's like, that's dopey. So yeah, you know, creating some microclimates where you can really sit down and have conversations with people. Automation now is easy. You know, it used to be, I mean, it used to be too hard for us and we were pretty big, you know, now it's like cool and easy and little and groovy. And so I think there's going to be some cool things happening.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah. And I think, automation, I agree with you around like the seeming paradox of it, because people hear that word and they think that it's less intimate, that it's less personal, and exactly the opposite is true. And I think that if we tell people that, again, going back to transparency and directness, right, if we say, you know, I want you to tell us that you're a freelancer or a marketer in an organization, and the reason why is because I don't want to send you the wrong content, people are going to be like, of course I want to tell you who I am and what I'm looking for. Right. People want to hear from us and they want the information that we are offering or the products that we're offering. And the more we can create, like you said, a kind of a micro climate where we can deliver them exactly that, the better and the happier they're going to be. And then in turn, the happier and more prosperous we're going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, I never understood before that, you know, supposed curse, may you live in interesting times. And I get it now. I get that that's a curse, but it is interesting. And there's a lot of interesting things happening if we kind of keep our eyes open and really keep our heart in the right place. I think there's huge opportunities and it's going to be very interesting to figure it all out.
It sure is.
I want to talk a little bit about co-commercial because it's such a lovely space and it's really valuable. So can you let people know what it is and why it's cool?
Yeah. So co-commercial is essentially a support and social network for specifically for digital small business owners. And I kind of define digital small business owner as anyone who is doing business using digital tools. So if you're listening to this podcast, I would probably consider you a digital small business owner, unless you're working for someone else, and they may very well be a digital small business owner. But the idea behind it is that we're always plagued as business owners, as entrepreneurs, with the question of now what? Whether it is a challenge that you're running up against in your business, whether it's a product that you don't know how to complete, whether it's a customer problem that you're dealing with or a client who won't pay, or maybe it's a big opportunity that you weren't expecting. I don't know that a day goes by where we as small business owners and entrepreneurs don't say, well, now what? And co-commercial is designed to be the place that you can go to get help answering that question. I'm not saying that we're going to answer it for you, but what we can do is give you a place and an amazing community and an amazing platform where you can process that question out loud. You can process that challenge or that opportunity and do so with people who have experience with something similar, maybe not the same thing, but something similar. And that process of processing and talking and getting honest about, you know, what might be next is exactly how you answer that question of now what and start feeling like you've really got it, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can say, I've got this. And so co-commercial is really designed to do exactly that. We're not a repository of online courses or workshops. It's not about content. It's about conversations. And to me, that is the number one indicator of whether someone's going to be a successful small business owner or not, is whether they're willing to engage in those kinds of honest conversations. And so we provide a platform for that at co-commercial.
Yeah, it's really awesome. It's a great community, super supportive, no drama. That's the other thing is, you know, there are some Facebook groups that are decent for this kind of conversations. But the problem is about every 10 days
or less,
a flame war, you know, rages through and people get up in arms about the definition of whatever, you know, I mean, who even knows? So co-commercial, drama-free. It will not eat your life. You just go in there. It's productive. You have productive time. You answer some questions. You ask some questions. And yeah, I think, you know, it is the number one thing I see that stops people who are putting something together or taking something maybe to a new place. They have a question and they just stop. Because it's hard, because it is difficult. And so, yeah, it's a super solution to that. I love it. I think it's awesome community. So it's just cocommercial.co, all C's, no K's. Yeah, it's a really good thing. And they don't pay me to tell you that. I just tell you that because I think it's awesome. All right. Well, thank you. I'm going to leave people with that, you know, kind of any last rallying cry that they can go forward with and think about as they move on with their day.
I think to just remember that people want to hear from you and people want to buy from you, and the GDPR doesn't change anything about that. Mm-hmm. And that's what you should be basing your marketing strategy on, that belief that people want what you've got.
I love that. That's awesome. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Tara Gentile. She's the best. And GDPR, if you point your browser to copyblogger.fm, I'll have lots of links. I'll have links to Tara. I'll have links to some GDPR FAQs that I found useful and other things. So thank you, Tara. And I hope your day is awesome.
Thank you.